You can hear the music, right?
Yeah.
Welcome to the Binge Boys podcast, everybody. Episode 168. Man, we're just cruising through the 100 mark. It seemed like just yesterday I was canceling my trip to Disney World to celebrate my 100th episode. the coronavirus, but here we are. Because of the coronavirus, we're probably not going to do anything for episode 200 either. One day we'll do something to commemorate just the celebration of great co-hosts and great previous hosts and the great beyond. But until then, I'm chilling here with Mitch and Matt. What up, gents?
What's going on?
What is up? What is up, guys?
New president, same podcast.
Also joining us today is special guest, upstairs neighbor, who decided to get a drum set and practice right now. So shouts to that dude that's just jamming literally above me.
Hey, big shout out. Shout out.
Hey, maybe he's listening.
Can only hope.
Doubt it, but guys, we got a loaded episode today, but before we get into it, some programming notes and some general like announcements. Well, there are no announcements. Go follow us on Instagram, Binge Boys Podcast. Reviews, stories, other things, episode updates.
Just good stuff.
Everything goes on the Instagram, so if you follow the Instagram, you essentially follow us. And you can follow us personally. We're tagged in everything, so just click on our handles if you are interested in seeing anything about our boring lives. There you go. Happy last episode of January. This Thursday we've got Batman versus Superman: Dawn of Justice, the run through airing. Me and Matt debated the movie a little bit. Usual run-through episodes clock in around 30 minutes to 45 minutes. Yeah, well, this episode was an hour and a half. So me and Matt, it was actually some really good discussion. When we've teased it over the course of like a couple episodes, and we kind of made it sound like it was going to just be us bickering about Martha. But
it sounded like there was a lot of beef between you two's opinions.
We got it squashed. The beef is no more.
The beef is no more. So tune in on Thursday for that. And then just some general scheduling for the next month out. I had some spare time tonight to plan out the next month or whatever. So basically, like I promised at the beginning of the year, there's going to be at least two episodes of Binge Boys a week. That's kind of adopting the run through as being like my adopted child, a child that I said that, you know, I might only play with you or take you out to dinner once or twice a month. But now we're going that dual custody thing. And now I got you four times a month. Every week you're going to get a run through. So the month of February, on airing on the 4th, we got Shutter Island, which I had just watched for the first time yesterday. I missed this one. I don't know how, but holy shit.
That's a good movie.
Yeah, it is. I had no idea. Then airing on February 11th, we get Valentine's Day, which is not a good movie. Complete opposite of Shutter Island. And then airing on the 18th, we got Black Panther, that I think Mitch and Matt and I will tackle together if the gents are up for it. And then The Karate Kid, airing on February 25th, starring roommate Jordan for sure, because roommate Jordan is obsessed with The Karate Kid and that extended Karate Kid universe, Cobra Kai, all of that stuff. So
that KKCU you hear so much about.
All those spinoff films of Daniel LaRusso. But yeah, that's kind of the next month out. I think in March I have on the dock that me, Mitch, and Matt hopefully will break down the Sam Raimi Spider-Man trilogy. That'll probably be a long one because we're going to have three movies to kind of explore the arc of the characters and kind of go through. I can't wait for that. That's going to be a lot of fun. But yeah, that's a just general schedule. You know, if something changes, we'll let you know. And if something changes, you'll hear about it on the Instagram. So more incentive to go follow the Instagram. I'll jump into some headlines up here so we can get through this episode. We got a lot to talk about here. Are you ready for some things that happened this weekend?
Let's do it.
Bet. I'm excited. Number one, which is actually something not very exciting. Legendary talk show host Larry King passed away on Sunday, I believe, or Saturday. I think it was Saturday morning I woke up and saw that he had passed.
Yep.
Long time. This is obviously from CNN because I'm pretty sure Larry King was a host of CNN for a majority of his career, wasn't he?
Correct.
Larry King, longtime CNN host, who became an icon through his countless interviews with countless celebrities, has passed away at 87. He retired in 2010 after taping more than 6,000 episodes of Larry King Live, which is just fucking bonkers, dude.
I'll get there one day.
His son Chance confirmed the King's death Saturday morning. It was with profound sadness. Aura Media announces the death of our co-founder, host, friend Larry King, who passed away at 87 years old. For 63 years and across platforms of radio, TV, digital media, Larry's thousands of interviews, awards, global acclaim stand as a testament to his unique and lasting talent as a broadcaster. They did not give an official cause of death. However, it is noted that he battled a number of health problems. I mean, once you get to be that old, you just kind of start falling apart and more things start failing. So I'm not surprised. I mean, 87, he looks pretty solid for 87. I'll go ahead and say. It says that in December, he was hospitalized with COVID-19 problems. He suffered several heart attacks over the years, underwent some bypass surgeries. He had lung cancer. He had a lot going on. Did not know this. King also suffered personal loss last year when two of his adult children died within weeks of each other. Andy King, at 65, suffered a heart attack, and his daughter, Chia King, at 52, died from lung cancer. So this man just went, underwent everything. Larry King interviewed every president from Ford to Obama. So if it just shows you how long this man's been in business, RIP to Larry King, one of the greatest to ever do his craft. This was one of those that was a real shock, like, mm-hmm. Oh shit, like moments. Sad to say that as some of our favorite celebrities and icons get older and older, there's just going to be more of those, oh shit, I can't believe they just died moments. Which sucks. Yeah. But yeah, RIP to Larry King. Next up, we've got, this broke today, actually. HBO Max is in the early development stages of a Harry Potter live action TV series. Sources tell The Hollywood Reporter that executives at Warner Media have engaged multiple conversations with potential writers exploring various ideas that would bring this property to TV. There is, like I said, very, very early on, there is no even leg of a concept out there but this is happening. Unless it gets shit canned, because you know how Warner Brothers is, they'll announce like 20 things and only 5 things end up airing. So let's hope that, hey, maybe this explores what the cast is up to 20 years later. I don't think we need that per se, but maybe if it explores other Hogwarts characters or just people in that universe, I think I'd be cool with that.
Yeah.
Next up,
Dono.
The volume was turned down, but
Dono. Ahsoka Tano.
A Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic game is reportedly in development without EA and BioWare attached. This game is in the works, and it's not being developed by the original studio behind the game. Apparently, an outsider, or a Star Wars insider spoke about this project, and he said that, quote, "We'll never guess what studio is making this game." Interesting.
You have to think it's Infinity Ward.
Trey, the team behind Call of Duty is making Knights of the Old Republic with with a first-person shooter look to it. But I don't know. Yeah. Again, this is very much so quite under wraps, just like the Harry Potter thing. This is just something that's happening, apparently. It's just something that's happening, which is cool. Whatever. And then finally, in a little bit of discussion, not too much just in terms of just because of time, but we got the first trailer yesterday for Godzilla versus Kong.
Yes.
So I'll go ahead and give just general details. Legends will collide. This movie is coming to HBO Max in the US only for 31 days at no extra cost for subscribers. While simultaneously going to theaters, just like how Wonder Woman did. I'm pretty sure, I don't think you can watch Wonder Woman anymore. I think it's 31 days are up. I think that this is awesome. So upon first glimpse of this trailer, I was very much so like underwhelmed, but then I watched it a couple more times and I was like, wait, you got to remind yourself that this is a movie about a giant gorilla fighting a giant lizard. And my boy Kyle Chandler is in this thing. And I think this looks fucking awesome. I mean, Mitch, do you have any quick thoughts about this trailer? Was it what you wanted to see in a kind of teaser? I assume this might be the only teaser we get because the movie comes out next month, essentially. We're almost in February.
Well, just my quick thoughts on it. I was pissed off that they showed something in the trailer that they should have kept under wraps.
What's that?
Mecha Godzilla.
Oh, they did show that. Yeah.
They showed Mecha Godzilla.
It was for a split second, but then like when I noticed it, I was like, that's what that is, right?
Yeah, it's got to be.
So, Matt, before you give your thoughts on it, do you think this is a Batman versus Superman situation, or do you think there will only be one of these guys coming out of this movie?
Oh, like there's going to be a winner?
Like, do you think that this is going to be one where these two are fighting each other and then they'll team up in the end to fight something bigger, or do you think that one of these guys is going to fall? Because the tagline says one will fall.
Yeah, So I think that's a misdirect. I do think that they're gonna team up. But if it's anything like the original King Kong versus Godzilla, there will be two versions: one released in Japan where Godzilla wins, and one released in America where Kong wins. I don't think that's happening this time, but I just wanted to flex my Godzilla knowledge on y'all.
You know, as much as I'm a fan of Kong, like I really enjoyed Kong Skull Island, and just Kong himself, you can't not root for him. But I mean, Godzilla.
Yeah.
Godzilla.
Kong's like, he's got a little bit of reach, but that's about it. Godzilla's got the literal weapons. He's got the atomic breath. Like, he's nuclear powered. People forget about that.
Part of me, like, I don't know. I don't know. Part of me believes that it's a stronger chance that if only one survives, part of me says that Godzilla loses, only because if you just think in terms of money making here, don't even think in terms of story, but Godzilla, this will be his third live action recent appearance. Kong has only had one. If they kill Godzilla and then make a King Kong movie, like we had Kong Skull Island, but imagine this movie ending and then we get a King Kong movie. No, not Peter Jackson's starring Jack Black King Kong movie, but like a new King Kong movie. Do you think that there's, that's a, or do you think that these two are going to fight Mecha Godzilla or something.
Yeah, I think they're gonna go for something. Godzilla has all, like, I just feel like with, he's like the one you want to back the franchise behind because he's just more interesting. He's got a better cast of villains. Like who's a King Kong villain? He's talking about airplanes on top of the Empire State Building.
Oh man, yeah, I think I'm excited. I mean, the poster, I think, for one, is fucking awesome. The way they use the colors with the orange and the blue. I'm excited. I'm excited for this movie. I'm sure you guys are. And we'll be sure to review that shit the weekend it comes out so you guys know if you should watch it or not. Matt, Mitch, what are the chances that this movie earns a 4 out of 5 or above?
That's tough. I'm trying to think what I would give the other ones.
This has the potential to be fucking great, but yeah. I have a horrible feeling that it'll just be an average movie.
Yeah, like if a movie's just action, I feel like it has to be done really well to get 4 or above. And no offense to the others, but I feel like that's kind of what these movies have been.
I honestly think that the story, like the thread line story throughout the Godzilla movies, hasn't been all that great. But I mean, the CGI and the action part of it, that's what I have enjoyed mostly. And I can't really remember the story from Kong Skull Island. I just know that it was like more of like a comedy type of comedy involved with the action with Kong. But I don't know. I'm more curious to see how the story is going to play out for this movie, because that's the only thing that I would criticize at giving it a lower score, I think, because I feel like the action and CGI is going to be phenomenal in this movie. So could that be enough to give it a 4 or 5 out of 5 is the question.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll have to see here in just a month's time. So mark your calendars, fam. Kong or Godzilla versus Kong. Hopefully it makes the top top 10 list of 2021. But if not, then RIP. They're gonna keep making these movies, even though they kind of do story wise, like kinda suck. I'm pretty sure we went and saw Godzilla back in high school, Mitch. Didn't we go and see Godzilla as a group?
I think so. And I remember being super hyped because that was when I was like, dude, Bryan Cranston's in this movie. Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad is in Godzilla. And they completely underutilized him as a character. I'm pretty sure he got killed off in like the first 30 or 45 minutes of the film. And then I was pissed the rest of the movie because then like it just – I didn't really like the way that the story was going. And I don't know. I mean, there's not much of a story that you can do surrounding the people that are having to go through and live with Godzilla just wrecking shit. I mean, but I don't know. I've never seen, I saw the animated Godzilla movies that came out like within the past like couple of years or something like that. And that was a very interesting play on seeing how to develop characters in a story around the mayhem and carnage that's going on with Godzilla and stuff. But yeah, this movie's a lot of hype.
There you go. Very good. There are your headlines of the week, fam. Stay tuned for more next week, I guess.
News will keep happening.
Now we're gonna review some shit. There's a lot of stuff that we've watched over the past couple weeks, or just over the past week. Number one, I watched, not me and Mitch watched, I watched Outside the Wire.
I'm sorry.
So yeah, quick, I won't spend too much time on this. It doesn't really deserve that much time spent on it. Outside the Wire, rated R. Hour and 54 minutes. released on Netflix. It's one of Netflix's, like, we're releasing a movie a week kind of campaign they're running. Released on January 15th. Stars Anthony Mackie and then other people. Synopsis reads as, in the near future, and to further go off on that, the movie takes place in 2035. In the near future, a drone pilot sent into war finds himself paired with a top secret android officer on a mission to stop a nuclear attack. Stars Anthony Mackie and then just a bunch of random people, directed by Mikhail Hofstrom. Looks like a German. The amount of symbols over... There's a symbol above half of the letters in this man's last name, so you know he's German as fuck. This movie was hovering above around a 2 out of 5 for me for a majority of the movie. But once the movie kind of took off, the action got pretty cool. And some of the action scenes in this movie are fucking awesome. Like some of the hand-to-hand combat stuff with Anthony Mackie is dope. I mean, it rivals like, I'm not going to say he rivals John Wick by any means, but like when, in terms of like that, you know, that clean, like there's no music in the background, just clean. All you hear is like the back and forth punching, like between the two characters type action. This like, it reminded me of that. I don't know what they were going for here. Like, is this a RoboCop situation? It kind of is. Is this a Terminator situation? It kind of is. At times it feels like they tried to make Anthony Mackie like the Terminator or like RoboCop, but it also seems like in other portions of the movie they forget that he's a robot and he does like human things, and it's like how is he doing that? He's a robot, but or like and vice versa. So I don't know, it was kind of iffy. And then there was a few, I can't remember them specifically, but there was a few errors throughout, like continuity errors. That's what I'm thinking of, that like both I and Catherine were like, didn't they like say 20 minutes ago that that wasn't the case? And now it is happened. Like there's a few moments like that, but I mean, all in all, like if you want a cool action movie to watch and there's nothing else on, you could pop this on. I'll give it a 3 out of 5. It was enjoyable. I really like Anthony Mackie in recent years, ever since he was in Winter Soldier. Not only just in the Marvel movies, but he's kind of like he's been in a lot of like other films, and I think he's a great actor. I mean, he's a fine actor, but he's a likable guy, you know, like you see Anthony Mackie on screen, you're like, I can't not like this guy. So yeah, Outside the Wire, 3 out of 5, watch it if you want. It's on Netflix. It's free. They just announced like last week that they have over 200 million subscribers. So, I mean, chances are if you're listening to this, you have Netflix. So, yeah, check it out if you want. If not, no biggie. You're not missing too much. Moving on. Everything else from here on out is TV related. So shouts to the TV peeps out there. Euphoria got another bonus epi.
Yes, sir.
Over the weekend. Completely forgot this was happening until somebody was like, you going to watch Euphoria? And I was like, thank you for telling me, because I completely forgot.
Just to touch on that real quick, I had seen it getting passed around on Twitter, which is why I brought it up, because I completely forgot about it as well. I thought it was just the one part, but nope, they got part two, pandemic special.
Yeah, I mean, so you watched, Mitch, I assume. Matt, did you?
No, I did not.
Okay, so
I did watch.
Mitch, I'll let you take this one, because I did watch it, and it's just not my style. Like,
yeah, I could see that, like, especially with this episode and even some of the bits of the last episode, it's completely different than the actual first season of the show. Like the way these are filmed, like the way these two special episodes are filmed are completely different. And they are basically about completely different things than the actual Euphoria season one. Like these episodes are based on the characters, and it's like an hour long character drama, driven by Zendaya in the first episode with her character Rue, and then I'm trying to think of her name. Jules. Hunter Schafer. It plays Jules in the show, and it the second episode's all about her character, and they uncover a shitload of stuff that had not even like they fleshed out her character completely in this episode, and it was a very emotional and like heart, like it's you almost have to be in the right mindset watching these episodes, because it's kind of like they're very serious and they're very like realistic and grounded in reality of like people with real problems that come from families that have problems and like backgrounds in having problems and stuff like this. To just kind of sum up the episode as best as I can, I have this article pulled up from Rolling Stone that kind of summarizes the episode pretty well. But just like the main headline for it is a therapy session allows Jules to go deep on her past, her problems, and the secret she's been hiding from Rue, which the secret that she's hiding is actually like something that I had no idea was going to happen, a complete curveball. And it's that she's trans, which is crazy. Yeah. Like it's an awesome storyline to like, to put in to that kind of a show and like really delve and deep dive on the struggles of like growing up in dealing with that.
I'll go ahead and I'll say something before you continue. When watching this, I don't know how to say this without it sounding ignorant, but I'll say it. The episode kind of made me uncomfortable, and not in necessarily like a I don't want to continue watching this kind of way, but like in a way of like I first of all, like you said, Mitch, I had no idea that this was happening, and it almost came off like it wasn't acting, because the actor in real life is also trans, so. This was almost like they filmed a therapy session for the actor and just had the actor fill in character names of the show, because it seemed so real to me. And same thing with the first episode, the first special episode with Zendaya. It felt so real. And I mean, the episode wasn't for me, but I need to give credit where credit is due. The acting in both of these episodes was absolutely fucking mind-boggling. Like,
yes.
Zendaya, I know, won Best Actress last year, but she needs to get more attention, and so does this Hunter Schafer needs to get this more is her attention.
First, this is her first role in anything.
It's absolutely insane.
And it's acting. Crazy. And, like, yeah, that the whole... The whole therapy session interview back and forth, it is kind of like unsettling and uncomfortable, because you like feel like you're not supposed to be listening to somebody else's like problems. Like as a viewer, you're very you're put like the perspective that you're watching the show on is very like, especially coming from watching Rue's episodes where it's always been about Rue, and even the first season is mostly from Rue's perspective, that this episode you kind of it's a complete turnaround and you're viewing it from a different character's perspective. And very, I would say I was, I felt not like, I felt very similar to how you felt, Logan, but it was also just because it was like, I was not expecting that at all. And it feels like it's very real and just like we're not supposed to be intruding on somebody's privacy of their own therapy session is what it felt like. And then you're just seeing all of it kind of unfold and how her relationship, how Jules' relationship with Rue is actually a very difficult situation to be in for Jules and Rue. So it's, I really like the way that they've gone with the show for these two special episodes. Sam Levinson, the director and writer for the show, is just crazy good. I look forward to seeing more stuff by him. And there's actually a movie that's coming to Netflix that I was going to pitch for us to watch potentially. It's a movie with Zendaya. It's called Malcolm and Marie. It's also has John David Washington in it. And it's directed by Sam Levinson. I think it's written by him too. And it's another like basically character drama type of movie. But it looks real good. And the like John David Washington is the beast from Tenet. Also Denzel Washington's son.
Wait, what?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
If that's true.
Correct. Confirmed.
What? The dude Ballers is Denzel's son?
Yeah. Yeah. He's I forgot. I almost forgot that John David Washington pretty much got his start in Ballers.
Oh my God. I had no idea. Wow. Now I like him a hell of a lot more.
But yeah, that's going to be a good movie. And definitely, I think they're going to be making a full season of Euphoria here in the future after the pandemic kind of slows down or maybe everybody gets vaccinated and whatnot, that they're going to continue making the show. But I would love for it to stick to these like mini episodes almost. I wish they could do more filming like that. Like, I hope that's how they continue the show later down the road. These deep stories that are these people that are just intertwined in with each other in that show. Or it's just a crazy show. It's really good. Highly recommend. Yeah. Also, what did you think of the whole like five to 7 minute song? I think it was by Lorde.
I noticed
the pictures. They were like filming her face, her eye or whatever. And then they had like the images of the story that she was recounting or whatever being like flashed in her eyes. I thought that was like really crazy and a bold thing to do, and just like it felt like I was watching a music video because the Lorde song was like playing in the background or whatever, but like it really like pulls you in for the whole episode. Really, I think that happened at the beginning. Man, I could go on about that show. That show is just hella good.
Yeah.
Hella good writing, hella good directing, hella good acting.
Yeah, the fact that like you bring up the writer, like the fact that was like a written script just like is mind-boggling. Like the way that these two episodes as a whole were made, like just with like the characters rambling essentially for an hour. It
like just doing monologues.
Yeah.
Like that's what's crazy is that like they would have the camera on them for like 5-7 minutes and them just continuing to just go with what they had to talk about in acting that. I mean, granted, this episode might have been more personable to Hunter Schafer. So, I mean, like, which makes it even crazier to, like, have it hit, like, closer to home or whatever on that end. But yeah. I don't know. I got nothing else to say. I would just say 5 out of 5. Go watch if you haven't already.
Yeah, I feel like if you really cared, like if I – you probably watched that this weekend. Or maybe it's on your list for this week. But, yeah, check it out. It's it like Mitch said at the top, when I watched these two episodes, I had in my mind that they were going to be almost like extensions of season one or like prequels to season two, like with the same vibe and the same atmosphere, the same feel. But like the fact that they're monologues, and like Catherine's brought up the same point Mitch did, like the fact that the camera is just dead set on them for essentially like 45 minutes straight. Like their acting is just impeccable and they should definitely be applauded. So check out Euphoria special episode 2. It's called Jewel. I'm thinking it's just called Jewels.
Correct.
It's actually it has like a weird title to it. Hold on, let me pull it up. It's fuck.
Hey.
Ahsoka Tano.
While he's looking for that, for whatever reason, Men's Health is out here to confirm that the song is Liability by Lorde that was in the part.
Yeah, I enjoyed this song.
Yeah, it was really good.
I think I turned to Catherine and I was like, is that Lorde?
Yep. It's from her melodrama album. It's one of my favorites. It's real good.
Yeah, I'm going to have to add that song. The episode is titled Fuck Anyone Who's Not a Sea Blob.
You know what? I think I did see somewhere that it was called that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, which is a strange title, but, you know.
It just goes along with it being a strange show with just strange. It just works. Only Euphoria could call an episode that.
Yeah.
Well, moving on to another TV special, I guess, Night Stalker documentary series on Netflix, 4 episodes. Did either of you finish the Night Stalker?
I did.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Cool.
Yes.
Yes. So everybody, it's on Netflix. It's the full title is Night Stalker, The Hunt for a Serial Killer. I think they could probably cut that second title because duh. But yep. What'd you guys think of this? 4 episodes. I'll go ahead and say that this also made me uncomfortable, but in a different way. Like, I was watching the first episode before bed, like last week, and I was also like talking on the phone to Catherine. And I was like, I kind of feel scared right now. Like, the way that the show is shot is that it's got a very creepy, scary vibe to it. Like, they want you to be afraid of this guy. And, I mean, rightfully so. Like, on IMDb right now, I have, like, a picture pulled up of him. Dude. And he's a scary-looking motherfucker.
Yeah.
Or who was. you know? He didn't get the chair.
He didn't get the chair.
Yeah,
he got cancer, dude.
He got cancer, fucking ass.
That was the one thing that pissed me off. I'm like, I watched this whole thing, and this motherfucker dies of cancer. He did not get gassed. He did not get shocked. Like, I was like, I was hoping that guy was going to get got. Instead, died of natural causes, bastard.
Son of a bitch. I enjoyed it for the most part. Towards the beginning, I was kind of like, this is so-so, but like all documentary series, as like the last 2 episodes kind of get in and it's getting like real heavy and it's getting like more action-based, I guess, like it always ropes me back in. So I enjoyed it. I gave it a 3 out of 5. It's a good documentary series. It wasn't like mind-blowing or anything, but it kept me entertained and it kept me scared. I stayed scared watching this series. Like,
yeah.
I maybe I'm a little pee, but I like shut my door, like shut my closet door. I was like, man, this guy's like hiding under my bed right now. Like, I just don't know how you can be so sick, man. It really kind of irks me. Like all of these documentaries we watch, all of these serial killers, it kind of pisses me off that these people just exist in our world. And yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a kind of a good pivot into sort of like the things that I'm not like super. I wasn't super enthusiastic about this one, and that's mostly like the point of view and sort of how they told the story. Just how it's mostly from the perspectives of the law enforcement and a little bit of the media, but not quite as much as a lot. And I feel like something that draws me into true crime and specifically serial killer docs is getting more inside the mind of like the killer, because like you're saying, Logan, like, yeah, he is like a cruel monster. And how could anyone be like this? It's like, well, that's kind of like what I watch these things to learn, just to sort of see how he did this. Because at the end of the day, yeah, like I wanted to see him do that, but or want to see him go down for all the crimes he committed, but he's a person like anyone else, unfortunately. And that's sort of the creepiest part of all of this. So I like when they kind of dig into that a little bit more.
Yeah, what'd you think, Mitch?
Well, I think I was the only one that gave it a 4 out of 5. I enjoyed the perspective that it was kind of that it was shown from through the detectives Frank Salerno and Gil. Oh man, I don't have it pulled up either. Gil, I want to say Carrillo.
Yeah, Gil Carrillo and the other guy who was like, and of course Salerno. He's apparently the more famous one.
Salerno, something Salerno.
Yes. Yep.
Frank Salerno.
Frank Salerno. I enjoyed that it was like told from their perspective of it, because I mean, watched the show. There's a show on Netflix called Mindhunter.
Yep.
And that's like shown from the perspective of FBI's like first introduction to creating the serial killer like moniker or whatever, and just kind of like studying serial killers and stuff like that. And that's kind of what I enjoyed about this documentary, is hearing from those detectives like how they went about their process of trying to catch the guy, because they had the hardest time trying to catch the guy, and they just used different clues and stuff like that to try and find him. And then to hear when the story was becoming more and more publicized, that the media was finding out stuff about the case, and then were like threatening to leak information, kind of like pissed me off, because I'm like, man, this is the kind of shit that that it's like they have to deal with, I guess, in a sense. And it kind of was like, I see the struggles that those guys, those law enforcement guys, have to go through. And I don't know. It was.
Oh, there goes Mitch. Thought that was going to happen at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I saw somewhere that one of the biggest criticisms of this documentary series is that it praises the cops a lot.
Yes, very. if there's a time to release a documentary that's like pretty much exclusively pro cop, it's probably not right now.
Probably not. Welcome back, Mitch. I think that it, I mean, I kind of feel where you're coming from, Matt, on the regard of like, you would have wished it would have been more told from, or at least told, giving us more of an insight of why he was the way he was. But, he's dead. So yeah. It's not like we got an interview with him. And then two, a lot of his victims died too. I would have liked to see more victim interviews, but like all of his victims are dead. Like there was like three survivors or four or five survivors, maybe.
Those stories were crazy though. They were the most powerful, I feel like.
Yeah, like the fact that he like would shoot one, like their spouse in the head, and then like purposely miss or purposely not kill them to like let them live and suffer. It's just kind of like, I knew I didn't like this guy like when, before they caught him, but like after they caught him and he was like walking in the courtroom with his suit on, with his shades on, like he's some celebrity, I was like, oh man, this guy fucking sucks.
Yeah for and sure. The groupies basically.
Yeah, and like just the fact that he would like he would scream like "Hail Satan" like before he left the courtroom. I was like, okay, man, like this guy sucks. Like,
well, that's kind of what I wanted to know: is he like truly deluded, or was he just a massive narcissist? I mean, I guess those could be one and the same, but you know, I feel like that's something that is known out there, just not, you know, the subject of this doc.
He's a creepy looking dude. I'll be the first to say.
Fucking groupies, those dumb people. Such dumb people.
I don't get those people either. Like the people that are like showing the support for him. Like this man's one of the most serious mass murderers in the history of the state of California. Like, honestly, if you're those groupies are still alive, I assume, like to this day, like that, you got to think that they're seeing this documentary and feeling like shit.
Yeah.
Like, I can't keep looking at this picture of him, man. Like, I'll tilt my camera down so you can see what picture is showing of him, but it's that one.
Oh yeah, that's I was gonna say a good one, but they're all terrible.
Yeah, it's quite unsettling. It's not a good picture. But in the fact that he had like Satan's logo or whatever tattooed on his hands and shit, it's like
Satan's logo.
I don't know. What do you call it? His symbol?
Pentagram.
I don't know. I don't have much more to say about this guy. We could move on to WandaVision if you guys have any closing thoughts.
Just lock your doors.
Yeah, that was the craziest shit that like this shit was going on. And then there was like that one statement that woman said about like her mom or grandma wouldn't lock the doors in it. And I'm just thinking to myself, what time period were people not locking their doors? Like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah, like when she said, I don't want to live in a world where I have to lock my doors. Well, neither do I, Meemaw, but you got to fucking do it.
I want you to keep living in this world. Period.
If unless you want to get got, Meemaw, you got to lock your doors. But there you have it. The Night Stalker. If you want to watch a creepy-ass documentary, it's on Netflix. It's only 4 episodes. They're only like 45 minutes each. You could probably get through it and IMDb says it's 3 hours and 9 minutes. So if you got a few hours to burn, you can watch this. You'll probably have nightmares, to be honest. Like the dude's face is just fucking creepy.
Well, like, you don't see him until the 4th episode. So just like, you know, right before you go to bed.
Yeah, I'll be honest though. Like it's pretty fucked up. It's a pretty fucked up documentary. He did fucked up shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Couldn't agree more. Closing this week out, like we did last week, WandaVision, episode 3. Thinking that the show couldn't get any weirder was a dumb mistake of me to think.
Oh, Logan.
Silly me. Yeah, so obviously full spoilers for WandaVision episode 3, which is titled Now in Color, which is cool. I think Mitch made the point last week about how it was cool that the two episodes kind of like paid tribute to different decades of sitcoms or whatever.
Yep.
And this episode was no different.
Shouts to the Brady Bunch.
Yeah. Major Brady Bunch vibes.
Yep.
So this episode, it picks up, I guess, when the last one went off. They do a whole previously on WandaVision type thing. So
yeah, I think like the assumption is that it's there because she gets pregnant like at the end of the last one, and then the house magically not only goes into color but completely changes layout too.
So I'm reading an article from Collider here to help us with this recap. And it says that it's worth noting that we've leaped from the 60s to the 70s.
Okay.
But from the perspective of Wanda and Vision, only hours have passed since episode 2.
Okay, so that's sort of like what we were thinking.
So this means that Wanda being not just pregnant, but super pregnant is a huge deal. Only a few hours have passed and this woman gives birth where it takes normal women 9 months to give birth.
To twins. So she's super double pregnant.
Which, you know, the twins, that's its whole own bag of worms. They're named Billy and Tommy. So many rumors flying around about how Billy and Tommy could streamline like the Young Avengers or something in the future movies or something. Also a rumor that, I mean, maybe not even a rumor, just like a wish list at this point, that Cole and Dylan Sprouse play the twins.
Twins.
Twins. Anybody from the WASH media universe will thank us for that one.
Or fans of 90s Coors Light commercials.
Twins! We need to get the twins as a sound effect.
Yes.
So after Wanda's water breaks, Vision runs off to find the doctor, and then their friend Geraldine pops by and kind of is being fishy.
Yeah.
Kind of saying weird things.
Can we pause the recap to talk Geraldine?
Yeah, let's do it.
Whose side do we think Geraldine's on?
What do you mean side?
So is she working to help Wanda, or do you think she was in there to get information from Wanda?
I don't know. I haven't even thought about that.
You know, I'm kind of thinking both.
Okay. Okay.
Go ahead, Mitch.
Am I?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. So I guess the real question that I kind of want to, or I guess, who she's working with her for, do we think that she is like on the same size and in alignment with Agnes and the other people in Westfield or Westville, whatever the name of the town is?
So are you under the impression that Alice or whatever her name was, is like just an innocent bystander in this whole thing?
I think so. This is a bit of metagaming here. You don't get Catherine Hahn to just play an innocent bystander and comedic best friend character. If you're bringing in Catherine Hahn, you're bringing in someone that can do a lot of stuff.
You very well might be right. They're not going to bring her in just to play a side character.
Right.
So, no, I don't know. I think Geraldine could be a part of, like what Mitch was saying, both. I think she, yeah, I don't really know. I haven't even considered the sides, really.
Yeah.
I haven't even considered that whole concept. But, okay, so Collider kind of dives in and says, viewers think that Geraldine, every single time they mention Geraldine's name in this article, they put quotation marks around it because they think that it's just an alias and her name is not Geraldine.
Possible, likely. I don't know if they're going to go for that or if she's like a Skrull, just like completely bring it in.
That's pretty. I haven't even my mind clearly while watching these episodes hasn't been open enough because I haven't even thought about the possibility of Skrulls either.
I hadn't either until the second, until you brought up the quotations idea.
So clearly, Agnes, also knows that something's going on here, and so does Herb, the other neighbor who's trimming the hedges.
Yeah,
I think it's clear here that everybody in this reality is not, I don't know what to say. I'm kind of, you know, I don't know what to say here.
I found it interesting that the town is like a physical location and not just completely within Wanda's mind from the ending where Geraldine got like blasted out of the, you know, bubble or whatever, and then was stormed by
man cutting through cement. Damn it.
Yeah, but that it was like a physical location, and that when she got blasted out and swarmed by like those officers, that was interesting.
I don't know how Mitch is struggling right now.
Tough. It's not quite making it through there. It's got to clear the pipes.
Yeah, let's discuss real quick more Geraldine. She straight up looks at Wanda and is just like, you used to have a brother named Pedro or whatever.
Or he was killed by Ultron, right? I think.
Yeah, and she says that he was killed by Ultron.
Yeah.
And Wanda is like, excuse me? Like, how do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
And Geraldine like just keeps stating off facts, like, and she's got this necklace around her neck that is the logo of that one organization we talked about last week.
Yep. And then in the previously episode, or in like the previously on, the beekeeper that appeared out of nowhere, he had the sword logo on the back of his thing. The notebook had the sword logo on it. It's all over, man.
So it says here, so well then at the end of the episode, Geraldine gets ejected from the reality that we are seeing. Is it even a reality? Is it they really didn't give us much. Like, we see her get ejected. She gets thrown onto the grass of wherever. But then you very briefly see like almost like a football field looking like with bright light shining down, almost like a, what's that movie with Jim Carrey where he's in a TV show?
Truman Show.
Almost like a Truman Show situation where his life is being recorded, but he doesn't know it.
Right.
Which now that I bring it up, that's such a good movie.
That is a really good movie. The Run Through.
Hey, okay. I don't know, Matt. I kind of don't know even what to say. Like,
yeah.
What do you think at this point in time? What do you think is going on here?
I think that this is that like some sort of containment device for Wanda to work through the trauma of losing Vision. And it's sort of being filtered through the lens of television because that's like what she knows from Sokova, or I can't remember the name of
Sokovia.
Yeah, Sokovia, the name of her home country. So I think it's something with with that, just based on how it's like changing and real but not real. And
Mitch, at this point in time in the show, after seeing Geraldine get ejected from the town, and then we literally see that there is a town, like this isn't just like a dream that Wanda's having, do you what do you think is going on specifically now?
Well, I am not as familiar with Marvel comic book lore, but I feel like Geraldine is working for some kind of like S.H.I.E.L.D. agency. I think S.W.O.R.D. might be. I think we talked about that last week potentially too. And you know, I honestly have no idea, like, if they're just keeping her there. Like, maybe they're keeping Wanda there because she's very, you know, unstable. Or maybe it's even deeper than that and none of that shit is real at all. I don't even know. But it definitely feels like, based on this episode in particular, that they're definitely starting to reveal that it's about kind of what side the people are on. Like in that Collider article, there's a quote actually that says trying to rant and then find a quote or whatever. Basically, it's just there is a quote from the episode that says, "Small towns, you know, so hard to escape." And then we kind of get that reveal at the end of the episode that, you know, Geraldine falls out of it, out of the complex figment of the imagination of Wanda. However that's set up, because I feel like it was almost like Wanda had created that whole artificial space that they're in. That's why I'm kind of leaning towards the idea that it's just all kind of Wanda's idea of a perfect life with Vision, even though she can't have, even though Vision's dead. Yeah, that's kind of all I got from the episode, as much as like details for further, like what the central story is going to be about, like how they're going to tie it into the overall universe. I guess it would have to do something with S.H.I.E.L.D. or S.W.O.R.D. or some kind of thing larger at play there, in that perspective, I guess.
Yeah. I think that's well said. I think we just are going to just, I think there's 9 episodes of WandaVision.
I think so, because it'd be 8 weeks since they dropped 2 at the beginning.
Okay. So I guess we'll just see next or this week. I'm excited to see how they go from here. I mean, she's now got kids, which changes everything. Like, it's not like this episode that the kids are just going to disappear. Like, she's got children now. So, like, how that dynamic's going to work? Like,
yeah, I think something that I just thought of real quick.
Yeah.
What I would suggest as a viewer is to pay attention to strictly just Wanda and her character.
Yeah,
that's what this show is solely about. It's about her and her character development, because Vision isn't really there. He's just kind of like a figment of her imagination the whole time. But like this, I like that's where I keep. God damn it.
Yeah.
God damn it. Like that's what I keep thinking. This is like it's all one big Twilight Zone episode of like being in Wanda's imagination, but it's Wanda whose character really did change in these three episodes.
Yeah.
She kind of, she was playing the housewife role. Then she kind of stepped it up and started showing more of her, the magic side that she has and kind of branching out that way. She was branching out to the neighbors and stuff. Then you kind of see that she's, since she's pregnant, she's back to like secluding herself. And then also I feel like her powers are going to play some kind of important role as the show goes on, because they've kind of been, you know, teasing at what she can do in this environment. And it's not what we've seen of her in like the Marvel movies do. So I don't know. That's just my theory of what to expect, is just to be on the lookout for what Wanda is going to be up to in these next episodes, what she's going to be doing.
Well said.
Yep. Whatever.
So check out WandaVision episode 3, Disney Plus. This week we get episode 4. Excited for that. That was Binge Boys 168. Everybody, follow us on Instagram, Binge Boys Podcast. Like I said at the top, everything that we do goes on there, and vice versa. Leave a rating on Apple Podcasts. If you listen on Spotify, Google, Amazon, wherever, that's cool too. But go to iTunes.com/Binge Boys Podcast and leave that review. We'll see everybody on Thursday for the run through for Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Hey.
But until then, we'll see everybody next week. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Oh,